In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, there are certain events that have really served to change the course of world history. When Martin Luther nailed his 95 Theses to the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg, it put into motion the Protestant Reformation, which would drastically change our understanding of the church. The signing of the Declaration of Independence in 1776 signaled the beginning of a shift in the world away from imperial domination towards what is now Western democracy. The fall of the Berlin Wall proclaimed the failure of world communism, and the terrorist attacks on September 11th shattered our own sense of American invulnerability. Each one of these events, we can look at the world as it was before they happened, and then the world after they happened. And while they are all certainly historically significant, no event has had more of an impact on the history of the world than the coming of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. We often refer to Pentecost as the birthday of the church. And while that is certainly important, I think it underemphasizes how important this day really is. It's interesting, but perhaps not surprising, that the lectionary also includes in our readings today the story of the Tower of Babel. And over the past few months, we've talked a lot in sermons and in classes about how about these connections between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and how you really can't read them in isolation from each other, but rather you have to read the Old and New Testaments together. So with this in mind, I'd like to take a look at how the coming of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost changed the world and what that means for us today. Now, to understand how these two stories, our story of Babel from chapter 11 in Genesis and our story of Pentecost from chapter 2 in Acts of the Apostles, how they work together, we need to start by looking at what was the purpose of the building project in Genesis chapter 11. And the key verse here is verse 4, where the people say, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its tops in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." So their desire for building this city and this tower is twofold. They want to get closer to God, and they want to consolidate their presence on the earth. So let's start by looking at this first purpose. Many believe that this tower would have been similar to a Mesopotamian ziggurat. These tall pyramid-like towers typically contained a shrine on top dedicated to a local god. If you've ever seen these Aztec pyramids in Central America, you have an idea of what we're talking about. The steps would lead up to the top of these shrines so that people could ascend to the heavens, as it were, to be in the presence of the gods. If you remember back to the beginning of Genesis, however, you would know that a tower for Adam and Eve would have originally been unnecessary. After all, they walked in the Garden of Eden with God. They were in God's presence. But Adam and Eve's disobedience caused them to be exiled from the garden, effectively cutting them off from the presence of their God and Creator. Now the story of Babel teaches us this, that this estrangement that has been caused by the fall is not one that can be healed by us. We cannot do the work of reconciliation simply by building a tower to the heavens. If we're to be reconciled with God, He must be the one to do the work. We cannot, no matter how hard we try, ascend to God. Instead, He is going to have to come down to us. And that is exactly what happens on Pentecost. Now, last week we celebrated the ascension, where we remember Jesus ascending bodily into heaven, effectively taking our humanity with us into heaven. Today we remember heaven coming down to earth through the gift of the Holy Spirit. That connection between heaven and earth, between God and man, that was lost at the fall is reestablished permanently at Pentecost. Now, for the Jews, the temple in Jerusalem had always served as the location of God's earthly presence, which meant that the people were tied to the property. Even though Judaism had, by the first century, spread throughout the Greek and Roman world, every Jew knew that true worship could only take place in Jerusalem. That's why in our story in Acts of the Apostles this morning, we have people from all over the world gathered together in Jerusalem for Pentecost. But the coming of the Holy Spirit changes everything. No longer is the presence of God confined to a building in Jerusalem, because the Holy Spirit now comes to dwell in the hearts of all believers. And so the temple's destruction by the Romans a few decades later is not simply a great pagan victory over the Jews. It's actually something that God allows because the temple has become obsolete. We are now the temple. And thus, the presence of God goes wherever Christian believers go. Unlike Judaism, the church is not tied to a building or to a plot of ground. Instead, she is free to go to the ends of the earth, proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, taking the presence of God with her wherever she goes. And this brings us to the second purpose for the building project in Genesis 11. In the second half of verse 4, the people say, "And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." Now, what's wrong with that statement? Well, if we go back to Genesis chapter 1, on that sixth day of creation, when God creates the man and the woman, His command to them is, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it." We see again in Genesis chapter 9, after the flood has subsided, the Lord tells Noah and his sons the same thing. He tells them to go and fill the earth. Thus, what we see in Genesis chapter 11 is disobedience. The people are disobeying God's fundamental commandment to fill the earth. Instead, what they want to do is consolidate, to stay in one place. When God confuses their languages, this is not a punishment or a curse, but rather it is a way of forcing them out to do what God has commanded them to do from the beginning. Now, there are many who would suggest that Pentecost is a reversal of what happened at Babel, but I'm not sure that's the case. I actually think it's a parallel to what happened at Babel. In Acts chapter 2, it starts by saying, "When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place." So it's just like what was happening at Babel. Everyone was gathered together. The disciples at this point certainly aren't making any attempts to fill the world yet. Now, when the Spirit comes, we are told that the disciples began to speak in other languages or in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And the people who hear them proclaim, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. So a reversal of Babel would have meant that everyone would have suddenly started speaking the same language. But that's not what we have. What we have are the disciples speaking a multitude of other languages, and everyone is able to hear them and understand them in their own native tongue. Now, during the first century in this part of the world, many people spoke a native language, but also Koine Greek. This was the common language, the language of business and commerce. And so if we were going to reverse Babel, wouldn't it have been easy enough to simply speak in Greek for the people to understand? But the whole point of Babel is spreading out, not consolidating. The Spirit didn't want the people to all stay together in that one place, unified by a common language. But instead, He wanted all of those people gathered around who heard this gospel message to take that message back to their own countries and their own peoples and their own cultures. That's why they hear the gospel message in their own native languages. One of the things we've talked about quite a lot lately is that the gospel transcends all of our human boundaries and distinctions. As Paul says in Galatians 3, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is not primarily about culture or language or race or ethnicity. My friend Butch spent 25 years serving as a missionary in Mexico City. But when he went there, he didn't suddenly start requiring all of his Mexican brothers and sisters to speak English, eat hamburgers, and watch the NFL. Instead, he embraced their Mexican culture. He ministered to them within their own culture. And the reason he did that, and the great thing about the gospel, is that you can actually be Mexican, fully Mexican, and still Christian. You can be fully American and still Christian. You can be fully English, or Pakistani, or Kenyan, or Polish, and still be a Christian. The reason why is that the gospel does not replace our culture, it transforms our culture. This is why the good news of our reconciliation to God has been able to fill the whole earth. It's because we're not tied to a place or a building or a group of people or language. Although not everyone will ultimately accept it, the gospel truly is universal in every way imaginable because it is good news for all people in all places for all time. I think it's very fitting that today is the day we return to in-person worship at All Saints. These challenging few months have really helped me to put the Holy Spirit's coming at Pentecost into a much sharper focus. For starters, it's reminded us that God's presence is not restricted to a building. Now, don't get me wrong. I think church buildings are very important, and I love this building. Church buildings give us places where we can come together to worship, to gather, to be the body of Christ together. I've missed being with all of you in this place so much, and my hope is that these past few months will help us to not take these gatherings for granted in the future. And yet, we have also been reminded that God is not bound by these walls. that he doesn't live in sanctuaries that are built by human hands, but instead he lives in sanctuaries of human hearts by the Holy Spirit. We do not come to church in order to be where God dwells, but rather this beautiful building becomes the church when his Holy Spirit enters it through his people. In the same way, our homes become the church when we are there, because the Holy Spirit dwells with us there. In fact, wherever a believer goes, there goes the church. At work, in the car, at Walmart, at a baseball game, the church is there because we are all temples of God's Holy Spirit. A virus might be able to close our doors. A virus might be able to shut down our buildings, but it can never close the church because we are the church. As we've learned this reality over the past 2 months, an amazing shift has occurred. As churches were forced to be creative, to come up with new ways of extending the church beyond the walls of our buildings, we've discovered that we are now reaching far more people than we ever did before. I recently received an email from someone living in Indonesia who had been listening to our services on YouTube and was excited and wanted to learn more about how to become a Christian. People who might have been too uncomfortable to physically enter a church building for a service in the past are now tuning in to endless live streams on Sunday morning from the comfort of their own homes, and they are hearing the gospel message for the very first time. Just as the coming of the Holy Spirit forced the disciples back out into the world, this pandemic has in a very strange way done the same thing for us. Far from closing the church, it has forced Christians to disperse out into the farthest reaches of the world, both physically and electronically, with the good news of the salvation of Jesus Christ. And while the long-term impact is still unknown, it is likely that this is going to change the way we do church and evangelism for years to come. Now, I certainly don't think this is an end to church buildings or in-person worship, but it is certainly forcing us to rethink how we operate in this new world. As we begin to live into this new reality, let us make sure that we continue to serve each one of us as temples of God's Holy Spirit as we seek to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to every corner of this world. Amen.